Luke chapter 15, verse 1, then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. What a privilege. What an opportunity. How many of you like hanging out with sinners at church? You know, as we think about this group that's here, understand there are some churches where not everybody's welcome. There are some churches that they don't open their doors and say, anyone who wants to can come in. And there are churches where if you come in, the preacher may target you and decide that he's going to make sure that you understand you're a sinner. Well, let me help you out. There's not a person that's alive or in this room except sinners. We're all sinners. We all need the grace of God. But what a privilege that Jesus didn't have to go out and find them. They came to him. The publicans and the sinners drew near to him. And that's what's happened. You know, we put a sign out and we say, everybody come on in. But we do have to go out and find them. They don't all just come to the church. Yeah, there are people who will drive by, and I've heard testimonies. People say, well, you know, I just drive in by and the Lord just put it on my heart, turn around and come to that church. Others did a search online and found us that way, or a friend recommended them. But when Jesus was teaching, the people wanted to hear what he had to say. They were interested in, and let's never become a church where people feel unwelcome, where people feel like, I went to that church, and I've had testimony from people in this room that told me, I went to that church and no one was friendly. No one was welcoming. It was almost that they didn't want me there. And guys, let's not be that kind of a people. Let's be a church that welcomes. Because here's the thing. Our purpose, our function is to share the gospel and to teach the Bible. And so the opportunity we have to share the gospel and to teach the scripture, I'll preach in any kind of church, anywhere, anytime. I will. You say, well, you'll go preach at that church? Sure I will, if they'll let me preach. Now, if I got to just rehearse their message, I'm not going to do that. But I'll preach anywhere. I'll share God's word. I'll share the message of the gospel anywhere. But they drew to him. And so he was able to reach unbelievers. One of our biggest things today is not just to reach the unbelievers, but the unchurched. You know, there are a lot of people who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Their sins are washed away. Their name's written in heaven. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. They know they're forgiven, but they don't go to church. And so there's a large group of people out there that are saved, but they're unchurched. And so we need to reach them also. Because it's a privilege to be saved, but what a privilege to have a church family. To be able to turn to people and to know that we can call them and pour our heart out, or they can call us and pour their heart out, or if they need us, we'll be there, and vice versa. You know, it's a privilege. And we have family, right? And sometimes we just want to rely on our family, but just to know that if I need to, I could reach out to the whole church family. That's quite a security blanket, isn't it? That's quite a safety net to be able to know that I could call on the church and they would be there for me. But they came to Jesus. And remember, if they're not drawn to us, we got to go to them. Putting a sign out, that doesn't negate our obligation to go to them. We need to be talking to our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers and strangers about Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Why do you think Jesus ate with them? Because he is hungry, right? I mean, that's normally the reason I eat, because I'm hungry. And we go to restaurants and we sit down and we eat with whoever's there, don't we? You ever walk in a restaurant and look around and say, well, I'm not going to eat here because he's eating here, she's eating here. No, we sit down and eat. Might not sit at their table, but we eat. And he eats with publicans and sinners. How awful. Didn't say he was eating something that was sinful. It was not about the food or the drink. It was about the company he was keeping. But let me tell you something. There's going to be critics all the time everywhere. always going to be somebody that's going to criticize us for what we're doing. Especially and primarily out of jealousy. You know why they were complaining that he was eating with those people? Because those people didn't like them. They didn't go to their church. They didn't go to their meeting. And since they weren't part of our group, then they're bad people. And we got to get out of that idea, to that mentality. They murmured, oh, he eats with sinners. And he receives sinners. And they're never too far away. Guys, and last time I said this, I got attacked. Let's not be discouraged. There's going to be critics. I guarantee I could give you a list of critics that could just destroy your mood for the day. But understand it's not about you, it's about them. People who attack us for the work that we do, it's not about us, it's about them. And so don't spend a lot of time worrying about it. And Jesus spake this parable. We go to verse 3. He spake this parable to them, and he said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? One lost lamb. How many of you have ever been lost? And I don't mean in a spiritual sense, but in an earthly sense, been lost. And what do men do? We just keep driving. Sooner or later, we'll find something we recognize, right? Lost, just driving in circles. Hey, I recognize that. Yeah, because I just passed it. All right, so how many of you have ever gotten frustrated when you were lost? How many have ever been scared when you were lost? Yeah. And now let's think about that in a spiritual sense. As we start talking about heaven and death, because you understand something, none of us are getting out alive unless the Lord comes back and raptures us. We're all going by way of the grave. And we can try to keep our bodies in shape, and we can eat right and exercise. And I was telling somebody earlier, I owe this suit about 200 sit-ups. I haven't worn it in 4 years. I won't wear it again until I do some sit-ups. But we can exercise and eat right and do all the things, you know, avoid all the things in life that could make us sick or kill us. But sooner or later, we're going to die. We need to face that. We need to face, and not only in terms of life insurance and making sure we have a will and everything spelled out and keeping our account settled personally with people, right? Make sure that they know we love them. Make sure they know we're going to heaven so they don't worry about it when we die. Make sure they understand we have faith, right? We know. We need to make sure that we know for sure that we're going. A lot of people say, I think I'm going to heaven. It's more important than thinking about it. I hope I'm going to heaven. It's more important than that. The Bible says we can know that we have eternal life. And by praying from my heart to God and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've let you down. But I also know that Jesus died on the cross and rose the third day to pay my way so that I could have forgiveness of sins and life eternal. So I put my faith in Christ and I ask you, God, forgive my sins. Save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. That's what it takes. We give ourselves to Him. We trust Him as our Savior. We accept His forgiveness. And our sins are washed away. And then no matter what happens between now and then, we know we're saved. We know we're saved. Jesus said that one lost lamb. We need to be out there paying attention to that one lost lamb. You see, we get lost by not paying attention to where we're going. We get lost by not paying attention to how far we're getting from our group or our home or our leader. We realize we're lost. We begin searching for the way back. begin looking for a road or a sign or a landmark or something that will just indicate to us the way back. And if you've ever really been lost, I'm sure it was quite a relief when you either came across that landmark that got you back to home, or when the search party came and said, "Hey, we found you. Hey, guys, we're the search party. We are the search party." Now, the parable here, the story, is about a shepherd. And those 100 sheep are his. And one wasn't paying attention to what was going on and ended up lost. And so the shepherd had to leave the 99. And where did he leave them? In the wilderness. Not at home in the fold, the sheepfold, in the pasture back by the house. No, in the wilderness. Why? Because the shepherd will take those sheep from home and travel up and down the land of Israel through the valleys and on the plateaus and the mountains. The Bible talks about, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That's a geographical term. That table is a flat piece of land high up. And he would go and prepare that table, and he would remove the rocks, and he would make sure there weren't any snakes around or lions or wolves in those days in Israel. And he would make sure there weren't any poisonous vegetation, any weeds that might kill a lamb. And he would prepare that table. But he was still, if he wasn't at home in the sheepfold, he was still at risk of the elements. Susceptible to the elements. That valley of the shadow of death we read about in Psalm 23. Well, see, a lamb will come into the shadow, and you know what he thinks happened? He thinks it's nighttime. And that shadow, it gets a little dark, and so he thinks, well, it's nighttime. So what do you do at night? You go to sleep. And the problem is that in that shadow, it gets cold. And so if he stays in that shadow and he doesn't go through the valley, if he doesn't follow the shepherd out of the valley, he'll stay in that shadow till he freezes to death. You say, well, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, we are pretty dumb sometimes, aren't we? We stay where we shouldn't stay longer than we should. And we just hang out there till, well, you know, this is what I'm used to, till we die. Life is not about that. We don't have to stay where we are. We can move. We can go. Y'all stop moving away, though, all right? But we can move, and we can go places, and we can do things. We don't have to be stuck in that job that's destroying us. We can move on. And so it's such a relief when we're found. Not just because we're found and the hope of returning home safely, but just the idea that someone cared enough to look. How about that? Someone cared enough to look for me. And that's the church. That's our job. Well, Pastor, I don't like to tell people about Jesus because they get offended. Hey, you're the one that cares enough to find them and tell them they're lost. We're the ones that care enough to go out there where they are in the wilderness and find them. Maybe they don't appreciate it, but maybe they do, that we cared enough to go look. Now, we have to commit the time, the energy, the resources to search for the lost. And here's the other factor about leaving the 99 in the wilderness. The 99 have got to behave ourselves long enough so that the shepherd can go find other sheep. You know, if the church is always in a fuss, debating and fighting and hating each other, we're not going to reach anybody for Jesus. Because number one, when they walk in the building, they'll feel that tension and they'll say, well, I don't want to come back here. We as Christians have got to keep our lives disciplined. We've got to stay right, serve God, and live the way God wants us to, because we've got a purpose. But as long as we're having to fix everything within the church body, we don't have time to reach anybody else. And by the way, why would we want to bring anybody else into a church that's in turmoil? And I've met people like that. They won't invite people to their church because their church is such a disaster. Let's never get to that point. Let's never allow ourselves to be put in that kind of a situation or that reputation. The 99 must stay close to each other and not stray. What a house full we'd have today if all the members were here. What a powerhouse this church would be if all the members would participate. I mean the people who said, I want to be part of this church and I want to do the work of God. If just the members would do our part, guys, we wouldn't have room. But as long as we're letting somebody else do it, somebody else do it, somebody else do it, it's not going to get done. If everybody works like you do to build up the work of God, how are we doing? Look at what it says in verse number 5. And when he has found that little lost lamb, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He takes that lost lamb. Y'all ever had a dog that ran away and got lost? And of course, they always come back smelling like something dead, don't they? They go find something, roll around in it, and they come back stinking, and what do? You better stop running, or we yell at them and holler and scream, get mad at them. That's not what the shepherd does. And remember, the shepherd in this parable is Jesus. And that one little lost lamb is me. And he comes and he finds us and he says, you keep straying, keep running away. But he doesn't whip us with a stick and tell us, stop running away, next time I won't come looking for you. No, he takes us, it says, and he puts it right around his neck. And he rejoices. Oh, I'm so happy I found you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Sound familiar? He rejoices that he found that one that was lost. And every time we go out there and show somebody the way of salvation, whether it's in our family or in our job or on the streets or at our school, wherever we are, and we show somebody the way of salvation and they pray and get saved, guess what happens? The Bible says that heaven rejoices. The shepherd rejoices. We should rejoice. Everyone should rejoice when someone comes to Christ. Laying it on his shoulders restores a relationship. It restores trust. Not only that, but when that lamb's run away and been lost, he's got anxiety. He's got fear. Maybe dehydrated. He's weary and just doesn't have the energy. So what does the shepherd do? The shepherd says, let me carry you. Let me carry you. Guys, that's what God does. We stray, we get away from God, and we're weary, and we're broken by the world and the weariness of the life. And Jesus says, come to me, and let me carry you. Let me give you some strength and encouragement and some hope and fill you with love. We need that. I don't know about you, but when I don't go to church, there's something missing. Like I miss that. Isn't it great to be able to go to church and get coached up and encouraged? It should be. I mean, if you had a preacher that was just mean all the time, it probably wouldn't be any fun. But one that tells us about hope and love and forgiveness and how God loves us and how we ought to love each other and how we're loved by those around us, that's encouraging. And Jesus says that shepherd puts that lamb on his neck and carries it on his shoulders because it doesn't have the energy to continue alone. Verse 6, he comes home and he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Salvation, new birth is something to be celebrated. Guys, when people get their lives right, when people get saved, the whole church ought to just rejoice and shout and be excited about it. People get baptized. You know, when you get baptized, you're burying your past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. And when someone exemplifies that through through observing baptism, we ought to celebrate that. I remember the first time we baptized somebody during Bible school. And the church was full of kids. And after we baptized them, everybody started clapping and cheering. It's the first time I'd ever experienced that. I've been a pastor like 20 years at that point, and I heard these kids celebrating a baptism. And I thought, wow, we should have been doing that the whole time. You ought to get excited about it. It ought to be a celebration. More than that, he says in verse 7, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You want to have an impact in heaven today? You give your life to Jesus and heaven will break out in shouting. Isn't that exciting? If you give your life to Jesus, you say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Then lead somebody to Jesus. Show somebody the way of salvation and they get saved in heaven or break out in shouting and rejoicing. For I have found that which was lost. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. So her search is diligent, right? But both parables come with this, until it's found. Whether it's a coin or whether it's a sheep. Whether it's 1/100th or whether it's 1/10th. Keep looking till you find it. Diligence. Persistence. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who quit way too early. They got a lot of quit in them. They quit. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said they hired them, and before they showed up to work, they quit. Another one showed up to work one day and quit. Another one showed up to work, didn't even finish orientation and quit. We got a lot of quit in our country these days. And we got a lot of Christians and a lot of church members with a lot of quit in them. Jesus is telling us, don't quit till it's done. Rest if you have to, but don't quit till you finish. Till you found what you were looking for. Till you've reached the goal. Well, it says she lost one of her 10 pieces of silver. She swept diligently until she found it, verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. She was looking for one piece of silver. How many did she have? She had 10, she lost one. That makes it what percentage? 10%. 1/10. There's a word for that. Tithe. And what does that mean? It's God's portion. It's what belongs to God. Let me tell you something. When we're out there looking for these people and talking to people about Jesus, let's remember this. God says, that one's mine. I need you to go get them. That one's mine. I need you to bring them home. That one's mine. I love that one. That one's mine. Bring it back to me. That's our job. That's what we should be doing. Reaching the lost or the unbeliever, the unchurched, and the ones who've gone astray. There are a lot of people out there weary, anxious, afraid, because they've left the church. They've left the Lord. Didn't say they lost their salvation. But they're not safely at home where they should be. Let's make it our purpose to bring them back. To encourage them in faith and love. Not sarcastically, where have you been? But let me tell you, you want to impress somebody when you've really missed them, instead of being sarcastic that way, just go up to them and give them a hug and say, I've missed you. I've missed you. Wow. Wow. That gets you, doesn't it? Let's stand. Father, we love you. We're glad to be here this morning and thank you for your word. Of course, our greatest desire is that if there's one in this room that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that right now, from their heart to you, they'll reach out in prayer and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, if there's one that is saved but has never gone to that step of baptism, and I pray that they will surrender themselves to bury their past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Lord, if there's one here that's just got a wayward heart, and they're ready to get serious and get right, I pray that now would be the time that they would find safety in this place or where they are and turn their lives back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. This is your opportunity to come. If there's something on your heart, I'd be glad to pray with you. But you can pray where you are. God is listening. Would you talk to Him now? What's on your heart? You say, well, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm living right. Then our challenge this morning would be that we need to be out finding the ones that are lost. The ones that belong to God. The friends, the family, the neighbors, the strangers. And just ask them where they stand with God. Do they know they're born again? Have they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That's our job. That's our role. We're the search party. And how excited, how grateful they'll be if we do our job. Anything for dismissed? Be back tonight at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Appreciate again all the comments I've heard, those who filled in while I was away. And I appreciate the opportunity to be away. I'm back now. So I guess you'll have to run me off if you want me out. But I'm back and I appreciate it. I feel like I missed so much church in the last couple of weeks, but it's good to be home. Glad you're here. Anything else for dismissed? Let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I ask Brother Andy to dismiss us, please.